Good morning and praise the name of Jesus. Shalom. Shalom. We continue to learn that rights and freedoms and privileges can disqualify you or can become an idol. That if we do not really use them well, they can be used as a disqualifier. So Paul, in chapter 9, he talked about his rights and how he did not use his rights for the sake of the gospel, how he gave his rights for the gospel. But then he said that he used his right as a stepping stone for others to know Jesus Christ. What a good way to use our rights. We actually discovered that the reforming lessons that you can be able to forgo your rights, or you can use your rights for, you can either use them or not use them for the glory of God. They are four G's, for the glory of God. These are the criteria of what to do with the rights and freedom that we have. For the glory of God, for God's name to be known, for God's name to be made manifest, for people to know the kingdom and to know God and his kingdom. Number two, you use them, a criteria for others good. The good of others. The good of others means that you let others grow, others to know God. You let others to benefit at your expense. They win at your loss. Jesus Christ came, and he lost it so that we could win. Jesus is a very good example. He forgo his rights in heaven for ourselves, for our good. And number three is for the growth, that at the end of the day, you become a better person. You have grown in greatness, inner greatness and outer greatness. You have become a better prayer. You have become a better man and woman of God. You have grown. You have known how to make decisions. You can say, praise God, that the reason why I forego this is that I'm a better person. And number four is that you can be able to defeat the enemies of God, the enemies of the kingdom of God. But then we discovered that for that to happen, in chapter 9, Paul says you should know how to disqualify, how to discipline. He talked about self-discipline. And of course, it's not by their own power. You discipline self so that you're not disqualified. In chapter 10, apparently, we want to read chapter 10. We go to chapter 10, and Paul is going to give a case study of a whole race, a whole community of faith that was disqualified because of their rights. You see, we already discovered that you can use your rights, you can forego your rights, you can give your rights to others. Now, let's look at more ways. You can abuse the rights also, and you can misuse the rights, and you can make the rights. You can stick to your rights. You can grow what we call self-entitlement. You say, "I am entitled for this," and you fight for them. You take leaves and run on, says, "They are my rights. I'm entitled for this." You can also get familiarity spirit because of the rights. And you can get into adultery. You can get into sin because of the rights. Rights, if they are not disciplined, if they are not self-disciplined, they can take you away. Let's look at a community, the Israelites' journey, and how they missed the kingdom of God. They missed Canaan, the whole race, because of their rights. They were complaining you know, when you get entitled, you start to complain. Where are my rights? Where is my water? Where is my food? Where is my protection? Where is my this and the other one? God, you have not given. When you stick to the rights, what happens is that you stop looking at what God has already done, and you start looking at what God has not yet done. You forget what God has accomplished in you, and you start looking at what God has not accomplished. In as far as it's good to forget the former things because God is doing new things, that's very good. That's very good. However, we should not forget that it is God who has carried us all this time. And that balance is needed. And so there is this group that Lily, we can learn from. They had a lot of rights, a lot of privileges, a lot of favors. Let's look at chapter 10 from verse 1. Let's read from verse 1 first and see the favors of these people. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. That's the first favor. They were all under the clouds. That is, they were guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, cloud represent that. These are typology. And they all passed through the sea. That is, they were all baptized this is the water baptism. That's another right, is God has given them that. Number three, they were all baptized into Moses. In the crowd and in the sea. There's a summary of number one. You know, they were identified with God. They were identified with a spiritual, with a spiritual leader, that is God, and they identified with a physical leader, that's Moses. They were not moving alone. They were not meant to move by themselves alone without God. And they all ate the same spiritual food. You look now, spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. Now the spiritual food was manna that they were getting. This represent the grace of God. The spiritual drink represent the grace also from Jesus. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and the rock was Jesus. Paul says the rock that followed them was this is great favor was Jesus. Jesus followed them. So if you think that Jesus just came in the New Testament, no, Jesus is God through whom the world was created. Now I want you to see why some of them were disqualified. From verses 1 Corinthians 10, 5 to 10, we give more than five reasons why these people are disqualified for the prize. With all these favors, with all these benefits, with all these rights, with all the great things, they were disqualified. Paul said he was boxing his body so that he would not be disqualified. And now he gives here a good example of a whole community of faith, whole community of learning, and whole community of practice that was disqualified, except two people, Caleb and Joshua. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Now this, the Bible says most of them, but God was not pleased with all of them except two, those who had left Egypt. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Look at what happened. Because of the rights and the favor and the freedom, they abused them. They misused them. They unused them. They were not able to benefit from them. They did not grow. Do not use them for growth or to benefit God or to benefit others and to destroy the enemies. So their bodies, they died. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. So they set their hearts on evil things. Instead of setting their hearts on God, they set on evil things. They did not... Do not be idolaters as some of them were. So some of them set their hearts on evil things. Others became idolaters. And the Bible says we should not be idolaters like them. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in livery or in dancing or in sex. Some of them, they become drunkards, they become gluttonous, they started to do orgy, that is group sex, and they would do it as a name of God because of the benefits they were getting. Paul says we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. Look, the Bible talks about how they committed sexual immorality and how many people died out of this. We should not test Jesus as some of them did and were killed by snakes. They tested Jesus. What does it mean to test the Lord? What is it that they need? What is it that they tested Jesus? Testing Jesus means they did not believe in him. They complained about him. They attributed their problems on Jesus. They did not. They said our problems was because of this Jesus Christ, and many were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by destroying angel. They were people who were complaining and grumbling. Now, when we say that one of the purpose how we can be able to use our rights and our privileges, one of it, and why we forego many of them, is because we can defeat, we can crowd the enemies of God. What are some of those enemies? It is some of the enemies of complaining, the enemies of sexual immorality, the enemies of indulging in group sex, is the enemy of drinking, is the enemy of idolatry, enemy of adultery, enemies of keeping our eyes on evil things, and all those many things, they will bring, they will help, they make us occur or incur a heavy loss. So Paul is saying that God gave this as an example for us. They were disqualified. They were disqualified for that. And what he says that we are tempted to do the way they did. And we need to overcome this temptation so that we are not disqualified. And there are some lessons we can learn for us to overcome this temptation. Look at what verse 13 and the last one. So then, suppose he says, let's do verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warning for us, on whom the culmination of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So Paul is saying that we are tempted to go their way. But he says a few things about temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. That for us to learn and to overcome this so that we are not disqualified, because temptation can make us fall. Bible says you fall into temptation, so that we don't fall into temptation as they did because of their rights. Peter fell into temptation, although with so many rights. He says, one, get to know that what you go through is common to everyone. You are not the first one. You can learn from others. Others went through and they were able to stand firm. Peter was able to stand firm. Jesus was able to stand firm. He overcame the temptation. Temptation is not a sin, but many people have gone through it and they have won. Number two, God is faithful. Now, God will do what he says he can do. God would not lead us to to temptation. God does not tempt us. He is faithful. And he is not a tempter. He tests us. But he will allow us to be tempted, even beyond our strength. As Paul says, sometimes they went through very heavy temptation in Minor Asia, more than they could be able to carry, so that you can trust God. So God is faithful. He can be trusted. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But God can test you beyond what you can bear. There's a difference between testing and tempting. God will not allow you to be tempted. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But number three, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So God will sometimes does not remove this whatever is tempting us, but he help us to grow. We are able to endure. Didn't we say that sometimes some of these things happen for our growth? That is what exactly there is. So may the Lord help us. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to learn from the case study of the Israelites who are disqualified for the prize because of the rights and privileges and because of the freedom that God has given us and the favors and the blessings. Help us not to abuse them or to misuse them, in Jesus' name.